Welcome back to Master the Marketplace with ETLs. Hi there, this is Kunal and welcome to Master the Marketplace. We've got a lot to talk about today, especially in this world where there's a lot going on. And I have a special guest on the show, the VP of HR at ETLs, Lisa Weidman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Fantastic. It's really good to have you. Well, there's a lot going on, as you can imagine. And today we're going to talk about a special topic that we are calling, Should Companies Get Political? And I thought it was apt to talk about this topic today, especially given what's been going on in the world. Well, we've got COVID hitting. Unemployment is at a high. You know, we've got the Black Lives Matter movement that's been happening all across the United States. And so there's a lot going on that's affecting the industry as a whole. And we've got to talk about some of these things today. But before we get started, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself, your background? Would love to just hear in your own words.
Sure, happy to. Again, Lisa Weidman, the VP of HR here at ETALS. I've been in HR about 15 years and have always seemed to follow change and innovation throughout my career. I started out in the banking industry and front desk, really, in human resources. So learned it from the very beginning, the ground up. And right around that time, as I was really kind of career pathing into human resources, the crash of 2008, 2009 occurred. So a lot of change, a lot of new regulations, and a strategic positioning of the organization occurred. From there, transitioned into a healthcare environment, of course, still in human resources, right around the time of Obamacare. And we were, the team I was a part of was really focused on decentralizing healthcare, a whole new strategy for a hospital network where typically the whole path was to bring people into the hospital. Instead, this team was focused on acquisitions and acquiring new physicians' offices and practices, as well as just getting healthcare more available to the community. From there, transitioned into the merchant industry for Bank of America Merchant Services, and that was a joint venture between Bank of America and First Data. We really were focused, obviously, on the merchant space, but there's a lot of innovation occurring at the time. That's when tablets came out for payments, as well as the chip cards, and mobile devices as well. So a lot of change and new regulations, of course, going on in that industry. And that ultimately led me to ETALS. So excited to be a part of the e-commerce space with everything going on, and more importantly, a part of a business who can help brands succeed and sell online.
Fantastic. So what was that trigger point when you decided that HR was for you, that people was for you?
I think it's in my blood. However, to sum it up easily would be the problem-solving aspect of HR. Whether you're recruiting, whether you're doing employee relations or reorgs or communications, it's all a part of problem-solving and helping the business align and think about the people strategy. You know, and one thing that attracted me here was the true fact that we believe our employees are our most valuable asset. That's always been a core and part of my passion that brings me to work every single day. But, really helping businesses align to that and, you know, working through different things that come up with their people strategy.
Fantastic. Well, I know I'm fully aligned with that strategy, so that's really good that we both are, which makes it a great place to work together, but also to execute for our people. So let's get going then on the topic that we want to talk about today. Now, like I mentioned, there's a lot going on in the world, and I know ETALS has done a lot in this space lately, and we'll talk about some of that today. But I'd love to get your opinions and some of your thoughts on some of these topics. So let me just summarize, you know, all that's been happening. We know that COVID has hit the world pretty badly. We know in the United States, cases are on the rise. We haven't completely come out of COVID. store closings are on the rise. Brick and mortar has closed. Airlines are in a mess. People are staying at home a lot more. Unemployment is on the rise. There are aspects of depression that we are seeing in this industry right now with people staying at home. And then to top it all, we have the Black Lives Matter movement that has taken place lately as well. So maybe to start off, and let's go through each of these, maybe tell us what eTails has done specifically in these areas to help employees, to help with the COVID situation, Black Lives Matter. So let's just walk through maybe our strategy, eTails strategy on COVID first, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Great topic. And there's certainly a lot of noise. And our position really has been to support our employees through this. This is a unique time in history. I never thought I'd see a pandemic. I'm sure, you know, you thought the same. And it's an interesting time to navigate the workforce. We pivoted to a work from home and strongly encouraged a work from home environment prior to the state shutting down. And I think that was a very strategic move on our part. I'm very proud of the executive team in making that decision proactively, because I think it really eased a lot of angst. You know, people were feeling a little bit uneasy, and allowing them to work from home definitely made it a lot easier in the transition as the state began shutting down.
Yeah, and we were pretty proactive with that.
We were.
I mean, and I know I got a bunch of emails from people in the company saying, well, thank you for being proactive on just letting us work from home and taking all our stuff home. And we did that too. If you remember, we let people take their laptops home, their computers home, and just give them an environment at home that they could just simulate work there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard from employees as well who, you know, had peers out there working at other organizations who maybe weren't handling it as well, or spouses where they were somewhat frustrated with, you know, how they were approaching the situation. So again, you know, I think kudos to the leadership team to handling it well.
Yeah, I still remember this one employee that emailed me saying that, you know, that her husband has, you know, cancer at home. And, you know, if eTails wouldn't have let her work from home, it would have been just very difficult for her to be able to manage the current situation. And I was so taken aback by that. I mean, it was, and I just knew at that point when I saw that email that we were on the right path and we were doing the right thing. And so, yeah, I'm really happy to know that, you know, we were leading the way when it came to at least working from home. Good. And then, so what about just, you know, managing through employees falling sick through this situation? You know, how has eTails been managing that?
Yeah, so through care and concern, mainly, we have had one COVID case here at eTails. And fortunately, the decision point to pivot to a work from home environment was just in time, and I think mitigated a lot of our risk. But more importantly for that individual, you know, we reached out regularly. There was a lot of care and concern and support for that individual. And even outreach, of course, you know, with HIPAA, we can't disclose who that is, but our employees were reaching out and saying, hey, can you just pass along a message saying whoever it is, we're thinking about them. And that's really the culture here. And it's just nice to see that level of support.
That's great. Yeah, that's been amazing to see, you know, just us being able to be proactive on employees falling sick and making sure that we care about them as much as possible, and then protecting other employees too, as, you know, an employee falls sick, for example. So
yes,
that's been good to see. But I know with working at home comes a lot of fatigue too. You know, we've been, I think most companies are now working from home for almost 3 months or so. And, you know, a lot of companies don't have plans to move back very easily, given the current situation, cases on the rise, like we talked about. With that comes fatigue. You know, you're depressed at points of time. It's hard to be in front of a computer all day long. You know, how do you have kids working at home? So there's a lot of disruption in your personal life. So how do you manage through some of that? What's your tips and tricks there?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, first and foremost, I think recognizing that we're in a unique time. And as employees raise this concern or raise frustrations or, you know, share some perspectives, first of all, just slowing down and recognizing this is a unique time. This is not normal. This is a new normal, and we've never experienced it before. So, you know, again, approaching it with empathy and compassion, we don't know everyone's situation, but we know it's hard, and harder on some than others. And so, you know, we have to continue to support them with any way we possibly can. A lot of that is through communication, you know, making sure people know it's okay to set boundaries. They don't need, just because their workstation is now home, they don't need to be online 24/7, but, you know, just to find that new routine that works for them, allow some flexibility in hours, encourage people to get out for a walk during the day, or, you know, block a little time on their calendar for a lunch and just to sit and have like a conscious meal. So we've encouraged some of those tips and tricks. And we have seen an increase in the number of vacation cancellations. So as we started seeing that, we started reaching out and encouraging people to, you know, have a staycation. Although you're not really able to go anywhere, maybe travel far, or maybe your original plans were canceled, it's important to rest and recharge for some. So to take that time, do something just for them, or maybe go camping. Of course, safe travel, but we've just tried to really make it okay. And then in ACMs, Kunal, you've mentioned, you know, and encourage people to take some time for themselves. So I think leveraging all those different communication channels has helped.
That's great. For everyone that doesn't know, ACMs are our all company meetings. So just, you know, for the acronym here, every company has their internal acronym. In fact, when I was at Microsoft, there was an internal portal just to tell you what the different acronyms are across the company, because it was such a large company and then there were so many acronyms that you would have a portal to go and search for the different acronyms because people would use them all the time in their vocabulary. That was interesting. So I know at Etails, you know, of course, as a technology company, we don't have a dress code of as such. But for companies that are typically more professional, that require you to wear a certain dress code, how do they handle a situation like working from home? Is it okay for kids to be in the room? Is it okay if your laundry is at the back? You know, what would you say to employers who typically have a more professional dressing work style?
That's a great question. And I think we have to make it okay. There's a lot we're all dealing with at home, whether that's kids or even family members or maybe roommates working in the same environment we are. And I think comfort's important. So, you know, of course, be professional. If you're meeting with a client, I think, you know, maybe there's some standards to be set there, but there should also be a level of acceptance and grace through this with employees and allow for people to, you know, be themselves. And, you know, ultimately, I think they'll perform.
Great. So I'd like to move to a slightly different topic and talk about what Etails has done here, especially. This is under the topic of inclusiveness and the Black Lives Matter movement that has taken its next phase at some level in these past few months. So what has Etails done specially to ensure that we are creating an environment that is inclusive for all?
Yeah. Great and obviously timely question. I think, you know, first and foremost, our culture is very inclusive. I noticed that right out of the gate. You know, people are very helpful and accepting of others. And, you know, it's a matter of really formalizing that and formally adopting that, and even publicly as an organization. So as, you know, as there were things kind of heating up in the community, we did outreach to our employees who identified as Black or African American, and personally reached out to them asking, you know, how are you doing? Do you need any support? Know we're here for you, and reach out if you need ever. And there was an overwhelming response from people just saying, thank you. I've never had an employer care that much. And that was above and beyond, right? Your thoughts email, that Sunday evening where you recognized what was going on and expressed with empathy to the employees and letting them know the stance that we were taking. And people just felt very supported through that. On top of that, we just launched our 7th leadership principle, and that is we believe in the power of diversity and teamwork. And the whole thought behind that was to really embrace who we are as individuals and the gifts that we bring, and make our teams stronger. It's proven that if you have diverse teams, they perform better, they're more innovative, and they come up with the best solutions in the market. So we want to make sure we're creating that environment formally and recognizing the multiple layers of diversity. It's not just age, race, gender, and so on. It's everything. It's how you grew up. It's where you live. It's your work experience, and pretty much your whole life experience that you bring to the table adds a different perspective in the room.
Right. And just for our listeners, a couple of things that Lisa said there. One is my thoughts email. So I send an email to the entire company every Sunday, which is called Thoughts, which really just talks about my thoughts from the week and the following week, and just gives all our employees some transparency on how their CEO is thinking. But Lisa, you also mentioned leadership principles. Tell everyone what these leadership principles are. Like, what do they mean for the company?
Yeah, there are essentially how we behave, how we interact, how we think as an organization. So we're all measured on these leadership principles throughout the year, and it's a part of our talent review rating in, you know, how we think about things, how we address issues, and how we work together. So a lot of companies say core values. We choose leadership principles because essentially I think every employee at this organization is a leader, and we're certainly a leader in the marketplace, so we should have those high standards.
Fantastic. Okay, great. So eTales has taken a stance on all these issues as it relates to COVID, as it relates to Black Lives Matter. What do you think other companies should do? Should they take a stance? Should they say that here's how we view these situations? What's your thoughts there?
I think it's critical that they do. Employees need to know what their employer is thinking and if they belong. And to me, all these issues are more about humanity and just doing the right thing, supporting people through a pandemic, supporting them through the Black Lives Matter movement, and letting them know there's a high level of inclusivity and acceptance, and on top of that, a stance for doing what's right. So I do think it's important that companies take a stance and communicate that to their employees, and even out to the community, so businesses know, you know, who they're doing business with.
Yeah, you make a good point, because it's not only about your employees, it's also about your customers, your partners. There could be other stakeholders, your board potentially, that all want to know what your stance is as an organization. And so, you know, making sure that you're consistent in how you're thinking about these issues relative to everyone that you operate with is critical, I believe. And you also mentioned communication. So how do you think a company should communicate their stance? Now, of course, internally through employees, but should they do press releases? Should they communicate externally? How do they deal with government out there? Let's talk about government in a bit, but I'd love to know your views on just communication.
Yeah, so the first rule in communication is never assume that it happened. And especially in times like this, I think it's important that we over communicate and communicate through a variety of channels. So, you know, through like just one-on-one conversations, through formal meetings, through emails, you know, to really help employees adopt it and understand that this is a real thing, and there's a level of support here. Out to the community, you know, Kunal, I think you've honestly been the best example with that, in, you know, raising concerns and in taking a stance and communicating publicly. You leverage LinkedIn a lot, and that helps, I think, you know, just people understand our brand and what we're here to do, what we're all about.
Great. And then what about government? Should organizations communicate their stance to government in an attempt to potentially pushing them in a certain direction? What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's what the government is there for, right? I would hope that they're there to listen. And a lot of times they really do. They want to know what businesses are experiencing. They want to know what the challenges are. And as an employer, I think we have a level of responsibility to do our part and at least communicate. If you don't communicate, you're doing nothing. So, you know, the right timing, the right stance, the right, you know, the right forum. Absolutely. I think it's an important channel.
And you think that organizations should still stick to their stance, even though they might get some resistance from government or from stakeholders who might take the opposite end of the argument? What do you think about balancing between taking a stance and a relationship that you might have?
Well, I think it comes down to honesty. And if that stance is ultimately the right thing for either the employees or for the business, for partners, for the community, it's important to do the right thing and not shy away from those truths. Now, of course, we always want to stay in compliance with the, you know, with the rules and regulations, and that's always top of mind. I would say that's part of our stance. And at the same time, if there's a concern that needs to be raised, then we should absolutely raise it. It's our job.
Right. And, you know, being in a democracy, it gives us the additional advantage of being able to do this, right? You know, in some other countries, for example, you're not part of a democracy. It's harder to express your opinions. But, you know, in a country like the United States, you know, we have the advantage of being able to do that with our government that listens. So I think that is critical to take a stance, even though you might disagree with the other side.
Absolutely.
So I know I've heard that from a few other employers that I've talked to when I discuss with them the COVID situation, or I discuss even the Black Lives Matter movement. I get some pushback on, well, we're just dying, Kunal, as a company right now. I just can't even keep my employees. I can't even pay them their salaries. Taking a stance, discussing this COVID situation, Black Lives Matter, I just don't have time for that right now. What would you say to those organizations that are just struggling to stay afloat?
Yeah, first of all, my heart goes out to those organizations. I think we've been incredibly fortunate through this time. With that, you know, I think there's something you can always do, and it doesn't have to cost anything. But, you know, making sure that you're adopting that as part of your culture, as part of who you are, and that could potentially differentiate you in the marketplace. But, you know, more importantly, whether it's maybe posting a sign or lending a hand or a smile to somebody, there's always something each one of us can do to support people through tough times.
Yeah, and some of these are low-hanging fruit too, right? Just an email on a weekend to communicate your stance, or posting a sign, like you said. But that little gesture that you show to your employees could add a lot more to how they're feeling on a day-to-day basis. And it becomes even more important, especially in a time where it's hard to get a job or to keep your job or to pay them their salary. These little gestures will communicate to them that, and they will know that their employer is there for them.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's shift gears slightly to another topic around just processes in a company. You know, what do you think is the importance of having the right process during times like these? you know, things like a simple example of, is there a forum for an employee to go and talk to someone about an issue that they're having as it relates to maybe Black Lives Matter? So how do you operationalize some of what we've talked about in an organization?
Yes, absolutely. So first and foremost, I always think it's a best practice to have an open door policy and really practice it. I think we've all probably experienced open door policies where that those doors may not be all the way open. So it's important to really, you know, embrace that and follow that with action every single time. Whenever any issue is raised, be open to that discussion, schedule time for that discussion, and, you know, really be there and be present with employees when they raise an issue. I know Kunal, you know, a number of employees have reached out to you personally, and you always make that time, and you've formally announced many times that you will always set time aside for employees. You're always a channel. Human resources is as well. We're always here. My door is always open, my phone line, whatever, however they want to reach me, I'm available. And, you know, again, one thing with that is making sure that we're truly listening and not resisting the conversation when it arises. You know, and just for managers, right? Creating that open communication, that open environment, and taking a little bit of time to just check in with employees. A lot of times, especially in a work from home environment, we're so focused on the action items, the initiatives, and the to-do list. And it's really important that we slow down a little bit and just check in. And that goes so far because it builds trust and it creates an open forum. On top of that, you know, we're putting in place a ethics hotline. And so it's an anonymous channel for people to reach out and, you know, say, hey, I have a concern. And that will be vetted. It goes through a very balanced, you know, individual, an impartial individual that will route that call or that email to be handled appropriately.
Fantastic. Well, Lisa, we had a really good conversation today on all these different topics. I loved getting all your thoughts. Any final tips for organizations, you know, as they're thinking about what side of the argument they should be on or how should they communicate? What would be your final tip and trick? If there's one or two things that you'd like an organization to take away right now as we end this, what would that be?
Yeah, that I would go back to communicate, and don't assume people know your stance or know what you're thinking as a leadership team, even if you've talked about it as a leadership team. Make sure that you're proactively communicating to employees and getting the word out there. And the other thing I guess I would leave everyone with is, you know, realize we're in a unique time and we're all people. And, you know, to support people with their individual needs through this and let them know that, you know, you as an employer or a leader, you're there for them. You're here to help.
Fantastic. Well, Lisa, it was a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you again for all your thoughts. This was fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
And thank you everyone for listening in again. This is Kunal signing off from Master the Marketplace. We'll see you in another episode very soon. Thank you. Through conversations with experts in online retail with years of marketing, compliance, and inventory management experience, we seek to empower our listeners to master the marketplace. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you next time on Master the Marketplace with eTails.